Thankful today to be children of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Well, welcome to Cross Lanes Bible Church today, and we've got three special things kind of diverging on this day. In just a little bit, we'll be partaking of the Lord's table, communion, and we're looking forward to that. And then this is the Sunday before Valentine's Day, and I'll be saying a little bit about that also in a little bit. But first, it's been a special week for two special people in our church. Last Friday was the 50th wedding anniversary for Vicki and Ed Webb. 50 years, let's give them a hand. That's great. I got to talk to Ed a little bit yesterday, just finding out about the anniversary, the celebration. I did know that a couple weeks ago, their children and grandchildren down in South Carolina surprised them with a special 50th anniversary, and I know they were excited about that. But I said to Ed yesterday, well, what did you do? You know, what did you do for Vicki? And he said, well, you know, Pastor, he said, the golden anniversary, that's what the 50th is, the golden anniversary. And so he thought about it, he prayed about it. He thought, what would be more appropriate than to take her to Golden Corral for the 50th anniversary? And so, big spender Ed took his wife to Golden Corral. No, he did something better than that. But we applaud them. 50 years, that's a special anniversary. So congratulations, guys. And at the very end of the service, there's some nice refreshments set out and a balloon. That's in honor of Ed and Vicki. And so at the end of the service, I'm going to have you guys go back by that table and folks stop by and congratulate them and grab some sweets back there on your way out. Open your Bibles today to 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John chapter 4. As I said a moment ago, in addition to the 50th anniversary of the Webbs, this is a special day because we will be partaking of the Lord's table communion in just a few moments. But before that, we want to look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, this Wednesday is Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is a day in which people show their love for one another in special ways. That could be dinner, that could be flowers, that could be candy. This happened many years ago, but I heard the story about a young man who was determined to win the affections of a special lady. But this lady refused to even talk to him. He kept trying to meet her, kept trying to talk to her, and she just didn't want anything to do with him. Now, this was many years ago. It was before emails and text. And so what he did, he decided he would write her a love letter. In fact, he would write her a love letter every day of the week and mail it to her in the mail. And so this young man, every day of the week for 2 years, wrote love letters to this lady. And in all, he sent over 700 love letters to her. Well, folks, the letters worked. They really did. The lady wound up marrying the mailman. It worked. It didn't work the way he wanted it to, but it worked. I hope you've never had that happen to you. But anyhow, this morning, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, I want to preach a sermon from a passage that was written by the Apostle John. And it's a passage that clearly and succinctly teaches us about genuine love. Well, as I read 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Word of God. And today we are especially thankful for the passage that's in front of us. Lord, what a rich passage. What a wonderful passage. Lord, the elements that are so important for us to know about true love are right here in these few verses. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray today that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God, that the truths of this passage would be driven into our hearts and minds, and Lord, you would do in our hearts, in our lives today, what only you can do. And Lord, as we leave this place today, may we be drawn closer to you and closer to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Entitled the message today, simply, This is Love. This is Love. And we begin this morning with, number one, the source of love. The source of love. In verses 7 and 8, we see the source of love, and that source is God the Father. God the Father is the source of all love. He is the author of love. In verse 7 it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And then in verse 8 it says, For God is love. God is love. Folks, we need to understand this today. God is love. His character and His attribute is love. Remember this. Keep this in mind. God defines love. Love doesn't define Him. Let me say that one more time. God defines love. Love doesn't define God. You see, without God, there is no love. If it wasn't for the love of God, I could not enjoy the love of a spouse, of my wife, Jeannie. We could not enjoy the love of children, the love of parents, the love of friends. We could not enjoy any of these things that are so special to us as humans, this wonderful, wonderful, crazy thing some song says called love. God is the author. He is the source of love. And the Bible says in this passage that the people of God were created to love. Do you know that you were created by God Almighty to love? Love is not a bad thing. Love is a wonderful thing. Love is of God, and we were created to love. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Verse 7 starts like this. Beloved. Beloved. Beloved speaks of the Christian. In the New Testament, anytime you see that word beloved, it is speaking of those who know Jesus. Those who are followers of Jesus Christ. And so He says to you and I, who are Christians, Beloved, let us love. Let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And so we were created to love. We were created to do other things. We were created to worship our Lord and Savior, our great God, and there are other things, but the Bible makes it clear. You and I were made to be lovers. To love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul. To love our family, to love our friends, to love our neighbors as ourselves. When it says in verse 1, beloved, beloved, that term literally means those known and loved by God. Beloved are those who have been created by the power of God and saved by the grace of God. And so if you're listening to this sermon today, you're in this sanctuary, you're watching online, and you are a Christian, you have been saved by the grace of God, you are called to love. That's who this passage is written to, the beloved, the followers of Jesus Christ. The source of love is God the Father. He is love. We were created to love. And the Bible says here and in other places that Christians will be known by their love. How they love. And it says in these verses, the one who truly loves God is the one who knows love. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. When it says born of God, what does that mean? It means those who experience the new birth, salvation. It means those who have been born again. And verse 8 says this, if we don't love, we don't really know God because He is love. If we don't love, we don't really know God, and instead we're like the Pharisees of Jesus' day who knew all about God, but they didn't really know God. They knew the law of God, but they didn't know the love of God. They didn't know the Lord of love. And so, let me just say this as we begin this message today. Any love apart from God is fake. It's false. It's counterfeit. Have you heard of fake news? Yeah, here, fake news. Oh, that's fake news. That's fake news. Guess what? There's a fake love. And it's the kind of love that the world tries to shove down our throats. It's a love without God. It's a love that is really in many ways lust, not true love. But it's a love that is self-gratifying rather than focused on the God who is love and letting Him love others through us. And so, listen, the source of love, when we really truly love a spouse or our children or our parents or our brothers and sisters, our friends, our neighbors, when we have a real love that is genuine and sincere, it cannot happen apart from God. We love because He first loved us. God is love. And after the source of love, then we see the symbol of love in verses 9 and 10. And the symbol of God's love is Christ the Savior. Christ the Savior, verse 9. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When God wanted to show us His love, He sent us His Son. It is the symbol of His love. Jesus Christ is the visible manifestation of God's perfect love. In these verses, the Apostle John restates what he wrote in his Gospel. Perhaps the most beloved verse in all the Bible is John 3:16. I'm going to quote John 3:16 and then I want you to look at the verses that are in front of us today. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at these verses. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Not exact quote, but a pretty close quote to John 3:16. And so, what John is saying, he's going back to what he said in his Gospel, is that Jesus Christ is how we know the love of God. Through His death on the cross of Calvary, the greatest love of all was demonstrated on that cross 2,000 years ago. And so, Jesus Christ is the visible manifestation of God's love, but also, Jesus Christ is the one who brings extravagant love and eternal life to His children. Look at verse 10. In this is love. In other words, get ready. I'm going to tell you what love is. In this is love. Not that we loved God. Don't brag about how much you love God. It's not in how much we love God, but that He loved us. And what did He do? He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Wow, what a big word. Propitiation. We don't normally, through the week, go around throwing that word around, do we? You know, you're in Kroger and you're getting the person's there at the counter taking your food and tallying up your bill. You say, have you talked much about propitiation today? Anybody ask you about propitiation? You know, it's a big word. It's a big word. What does it mean? It simply means, in the Bible sense, it means a covering for sin. To be the propitiation means Jesus came to be the covering for our sin. The covering. You see, my friends, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who covers our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ is a covering. It takes away the sin of the world. God's judgment for your sin and for my sin fell upon Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ is God's gift of love to sinful man, to sinful woman. Jesus' blood is the covering. It covers, it takes care of, it forgives, it cleanses our sin. And that is because of Jesus' extravagant love for us. And so, folks, the source of love is God the Father. The symbol of love is Christ the Son. And then the significance of that love is found in verse 11. And the significance is for we, His children. We, His children. You see, these deep doctrinal things that we're just touching on this morning, trying to make easy, trying to make clear, it's for somebody's benefit. God's love demonstrated in Jesus Christ is for the benefit of us, of we, His children. And it says in verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, if God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, and He is our covering for sin, He saves us by His grace, then we also ought to love one another." So what John is saying here is, since God loves us, we have an obligation. Since God loves us and sent Jesus, we are obligated to love one another. It says we also ought. We ought. When we ought to do something, that's an obligation. In sending Jesus to the cross, God demonstrated His love. And because God sent Jesus to the cross, He expects something of us. He expects us as His children to be lovers. To love one another. To love one another. And you say, "Well, Pastor, there's certain people I can love and there's other people I just can't love." That's not what it says. It doesn't say, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love some people. Some people we like. Some people who are nice to us. Some people that we get along with." No, we have to learn. We have an obligation to love one another. Doesn't mean we have to hang out with everybody. Doesn't mean we have to even like everybody. But we need to love one another. We are obligated. Say, "Pastor, don't lay that on me. I'm not laying it on you." What does it say? If you are loved by God, you ought, you have an obligation to love others, to love one another. And since God loves us, not only do we have an obligation to love others, but we should also want to love one another. Not just do it because of an obligation, but because we're saved by God's grace. We've experienced the wonderful, mind-blowing love of God in Christ Jesus. And so we ought to want to love everybody around us. You see, God is our example. He sent Jesus to a people that He knew would reject Him. A people that would spit upon His face. A people that would beat Him with a cat of nine tails. A people that would mock Him, would pull His beard. A people that would nail His hands and His feet to an old rugged cross. A Roman soldier that would drive a spear up into His side. A people that would murder Jesus on the cross. He, as sovereign God, knew all that was coming. He knew all that was coming, and Jesus willingly gave up His life. And folks, because of that, we ought to want to love other people. But here's the thing. Even knowing all that, it is sometimes hard to love other people. It is. So how do we do that? Well, we've talked about God the Father. We've talked about God the Son, Jesus, who died on the cross. Who enables us to love one another? It's the third portion of the Trinity. It's God the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, I want to love like that. I want to love my spouse like that. I want to love my parents. I want to love my kids. I want to love my friends. I want to love people even that I disagree with. I want to learn to love like that. The source for our love is the Spirit of God. To be constantly being filled with the Spirit of God. To read His Word and then ask the Holy Spirit to enable us, empower us to love like Jesus loved. To love like God the Father loved. To genuinely love other people. You see, my friends, the source, the symbol, and the significance of love is what brings us this morning to the Lord's table. God the Father, our source of love. Jesus Christ, our symbol of love. The significance of this love is we have a home in heaven. We are saved by the grace of God, and we have the Spirit of God living within us to enable us to love like Jesus loved. This is love. This is love. When Jesus wanted to explain to His disciples what His death was all about, He didn't give them a lecture. He gave them a meal. He brought them to the table. John Piper has said this, the purpose of the Lord's table is to receive from Christ the nourishment and strength and hope and joy that come from feasting our souls on all that He purchased for us on the cross, especially His love, His own love and His own fellowship. Folks, when you think about it, among the many ways that Christians rejoice in the love of God, perhaps the most powerful symbol of all is the Lord's table, is communion. By observing communion, we gather together as His church in love. By observing communion, we examine our own hearts and we repent of sin. By observing communion, we remember all that Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary for us. And by observing communion, we show gratitude for His extravagant love and His amazing grace. So folks, now, in remembrance, in thanksgiving, in celebration of the love of God demonstrated for us in Christ Jesus, I say come. Come. Come to the table. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go now from the Word of God and the preaching of Your Word, which is so important to us, we flow right into this wonderful picture of love, the Lord's table. And Heavenly Father, we understand that the Bible says that when we come to the Lord's table, that we are to examine ourselves. We're not to examine the person next to us. But as David of old, when he cried out to God and said, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart, try me and know my way, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me, Lord, and lead me in the way everlasting," so are we to do. And so, Lord, as we come to this table, it's a time to examine our hearts. If there's sin, if there's anger, if there's bitterness against a brother or sister, this is the time between us and God to take care of that. to take care of that. And Lord, we know because You are such a loving and graceful God that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And so we come to a time when we are to repent of our sins and then we are to remember the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our sins. And then we are to rejoice in the salvation we have so rich and free through Jesus. And so we pray that the next few moments would be all of those things and more. That we would repent. That we would remember. That we would rejoice. And Lord, through these things, You would bring us revival in our hearts and lives through this table. In Jesus' name, amen.